I'll tell you a machshava that I had, Hashem of the Bachrim, by the Seder. And I think it's to find something, what I try and do in the Shmuzan a little bit. You say in Agoda, if you look, Klon HaChomim, Klon HaVoinim, Klon HaSkenim, Klon HaYadam HaSatara, Mitzalem HaSapra B'Yisiyas Mitzrayim. So even though we know it and we're smart, we understand that we have all these different mitzvahs, there's a mitzvah to say it. Why? If you know it, we understand it. There was chachamim in the void, this kingdom, yet it was a terrorist. So why do we have to say it? Why do we have to say it? So there's a phenomenon, but which I experienced, the Rishiva would say over certain ma'isim, which he felt were important for us to hear. And he would say these ma'asim, I'm without exaggeration, 100 times. And he would say each time with the same words, the same inflections, the same excitement, as if he was saying it the first time. And he would never apologize. Even though I told you this once, I want to tell it to you again. He would just say over the ma'asim with the same, I didn't even know how to say it in Yiddish, but you would hear the exact same. It was just, and you say every time the exact same, he would say the exact same way. It was time and time again. I remember as a bocher, I used to like wonder why. Why in the world is he repeating it every time the exact same ma'isa with the exact same story and everything exactly the same? And, you know, part of nowadays the Gishma, because you have a new ma'isa, you know. You know, the Shiva didn't have new ma'isa, he had always had new ma'isa. You know, there's people coming to him all the time, he could have said new ma'isa, you know. Or at least apologize, you know, even though you heard it before. Like, why? I didn't understand. No, she was ready in the end of Veldt, and I remember the Mises word for word. You know why? Because I heard it 100 times. So the Baal HaGadol, I feel Klon HaChomim, Klon HaNevoinim, Klon HaSkenim, Klon HaYadam HaSatara. The job over here isn't to say new things, the job is to repeat the old things time and time again until they finally sink in. That's what Silsa Shorim in the Hakdama says, I'm not coming to Mechadish anything new, I'm just coming with repeat over the old things, which is important, you should keep hearing it again and again, because that's how it finally sinks in. Sometimes, you know, I feel like I'm repeating myself. And the answer is, yes, you're supposed to repeat yourself. Rabbi Mother told me, Chaim Shalevitz used to say Shmuz Rosh Hashanah. He said the exact same Shmuz every Rosh Hashanah. The exact same words. You know, that's the exact same words every Rosh Hashanah. It's very simple. The Rosh Hashanah doesn't change. One year the Rosh Hashanah is this. One year it's that. No, the Rosh Hashanah is the same. Whatever the Rosh Hashanah is. In Russian, gives it, you know, this year we'll pick one thing to do, and then next we'll have something else to do. The Rosh Hashanah is a Rosh Hashanah. Right? You want to give shmuz about shmuz? Rosh Hashanah, fine, it'll be a different shmuz. But why should Rosh Hashanah change? One time he actually got up and he says, the difference is, as we grow, we have a deeper understanding of what the avoda is, but the avoda doesn't change. And we change. So if a person thinks I'm repeating myself, even though he says, if a person thinks I'm repeating myself from year to year, he doesn't understand what the shmuz is all about. That's what Reb Chaim said. I made a cheshbon that I have this week to talk, and next week to talk, and the following week I'm in Eretz Yisrael, the following week is Shlomo's Chasta, which I'm not sure how it affects, and then it's 2 days before Shavuos. So I want to talk about Shavuos a little bit. Revolva in Chelek Aleph, and now the Shur Chelek Aleph, he has a piece in the last Marocha, he has a piece, in the last Shari, he has a piece called the Perichest, it's called Hashkocha B'Gula. And in this piece of Hashkocha B'Gula, he brings out the following idea. I'm adding a little bit more than what he said, but I want to bring out the idea that he said. One of the Yetzirahs that a person has, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Taras of Ram, Rabbi Ram Gudzinski says in Machshava, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, beginning of Perichelik. The Gemara says that Altaninus asked the Rebbe, what point in time in the development of the child does the Yetzer Hara enter into the child? Is it time B'Shas Yitzira or B'Shas Yitzia? The time when the child was conceived or when the child leaves the mother's rechem to come into the world. So, Rebbe answered b'shas yitzira, the time when the child is conceived. So Atenius asked, "Imkein b'yit be'ima b'yotzi." If that would be so, the child would kick through the rechem, the wall of the rechem, and come out. Rebbe says, "You're right," and he says, "It's b'shas yitzira." He brings the pasuk, the pesach chatas roivets. At the pesach, when the child comes into the world, that's when the chatas, that's when the karech yitzhara enters into the child. So he was in his error on this Yetzirah. The Yetzirah, the child's in the mother's rechem. And Chazal say, the Moreh Nidah says, that there's no time in a person's life where he's in any type of comparable type of a good situation like he is when he's in the mother's rechem. He's able to see from one end of the world to the other. He's charred b'toyva. The Moreh says, there's no... That Ayyiv says, I want to go back to Yarchi Kedem, those days when I was, those old days, the days of yore. The days of yore was when I was in the mother's stomach, because Ayyiv charred b'toyva, there's no better time in a tuva in a person's life than that time. Totally secure, totally taken care of, warm, he's got a malach, sees from one end of the world to the other, everything makes sense to him. It's a beautiful tzkufa. Why would he want to leave? What yitzhar is there to leave? And furthermore, if he goes out, he dies. Because right now he's not ready to leave the mother's rechem. So what yitzhar is there for a person to put himself to death when he's in the best situation where he ever could be? That's what yitzhar is. It says, straight in the Gemara, there's Yetzirah not to be shackled. There's Yetzirah to be free, to do what I want. Don't limit me. It says, and that Yetzirah is the basic Yetzirah which exists. There's no taiva yet, there's no covet, there's nothing else. The most basic Yetzirah that a person has is, I do not want you to tell me what to do. That is the most basic Yetzirah that a person has. Akrei kach, he's willing to kill himself because of it. The Yetzirah can convince him to kill himself because of it. Right? The manifestations of it are so many. He said, you know, so the kid who knows it's bad to smoke, but don't tell me what to do, so I'll smoke and kill myself. You know, or take drugs. I know, you think he doesn't know that it's stupid. He knows that it's stupid, you know, but you tell him, the more you tell him, the more, I'm going to do it, but after, why? Because I'm a mashugana. Because you told me, therefore I'm going to do it. To show you that you can't tell me what to do. It's totally illogical, right? Never tell a teenager to do something because he'll do, you know, it's reverse psychology. With little children, with teenagers, with adults. Adam Arishan is in Gan Eden. He's in Gan Eden. Pretty good place to be. He's in Gan Eden. The Mishnah says one thing don't do. He says, this is the way I want you to serve me. He says, it's better to serve Kadosh Baruch Hu this way. There was an element of Yudei Rabbeinu. Miskavan Limer doesn't mean Lachis. Yudei Rabbeinu Miskavan Limer, but because I want to show him. There's a Yudei Rabbeinu, he knows there's a master, he knows there's somebody in control, and he feels a need to be murdered because he feels a need to be independent. And that's the Yetzirah. That's the first Yetzirah in the world. I'm going to figure out how to serve Kodesh Baruch Hu better than the way Kodesh Baruch Hu told me. Good, so it's a firm Yetzirah, but it's a Yetzirah. Chet Egel is the same thing. Chet Egel is Klai Yisrael to coming up with a way how to serve Kodesh Baruch Hu, different way Bershom told me. Here we go. Right. So, he points out that the Voida, the Klai Yisrael went into Mitzrayim. Klai Yisrael spent years as a Vodim to learn to be Mekabel on oil. The Yitzias Mitzrayim didn't start B'Shas Yitzias Mitzrayim, because Klai Yisrael's goal to leave Mitzrayim is to be Mekabel the Torah and become a Vodim to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and be Mekabel on oil to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And there's the Yitzhar which says, don't be Mekabel on oil. And that's the most basic Yitzhar which a human being has. So Klai Yisrael spent years and years and years training to be Mekabli Oil. And therefore, Maskul B'Gunus and Masayim B'Shvach, the Sefer of Shmois is the Sefer of Geula. Right? Parsha Shmois has nothing to do with Geula. It's about Sheba. Right? Mashmeru comes and it gets worse. It is. Because without the Sheba, we couldn't have Geula. That's the machshava that he says. Rav Alba points out that a person at some point in his life becomes aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the point he realizes that he has no choice but to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the avnus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu is his master and he has to listen to him. That's what the madrega of Hashkocha. A person comes to the madrega of Geula. The moment of Geula, he wears HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, you gotta listen. If he's really there, and he's really the master, and he really is in control, so you gotta listen. One fifth left Mitzrayim. Four fifth says, we can't be makabel though. It's not a pella. You think about it, it's almost a pella. Klaizu went from being mamash on the mem teshari tumma to makabel the Torah in 49 days. How's it shaykh? How's it shaykh? The answer is they got over most of the problems in day one. That is, the ones who walked down and said, we're going out and we're makabel the el, the rest was just working out the details. The major hump was right there. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Rashi brings in Parshas Yisro, Rashi says, what's the Hoyim Shemar Tishmu B'Kerli? He says, in Tekabu Lechem, Tzahar B'Lechem Ikan Labo, Malam Ducha Shekol Eskol Eskoshes. So I told you from one of my Chaver and Yeshiva, Haskolas are cautious, beginnings are hard. When does the beginning end? And no longer, you're past the beginning, now you're into the next part of the stage of life. So Rashi says, if you're makabel truly, it'll be sweet afterwards. Once you're makabel, it's sweet. But the person calls money, still going back and forth. Well, he really wants to be makabel or not. It's frustrating and it's hard. The moment of difficulty is the Kabbalah. But the Kabbalah, is it true Kabbalah, means giving up the life the way we perceive it. You know, we look at the Baal Shuvah and he says, you know, he gave up his lifestyle. He gave up his whole being. It's a very difficult thing. And calls one of the persons vacillating back and forth, it's excruciating. But you look at them, once they really made a decision, and this is what they're going to do, they're happy. That is what Shuas is for. Shuas is, this is what Rashi is telling you, the Hagdamah to Shuas, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Klai, so listen, everybody, we're about to get the Torah. And the Torah comes, the 613 mitzvahs, Asseis and Lois Asseis, it comes with six mitzvahs to meteors. We have to constantly walk around being aware of the year of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an Abba to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It comes with a key to learn Torah, nothing mavat to your time. You know, I really want to take Geshmak HaMaisa right now, but that's very nice. But Hashem says, no, don't take Geshmak HaMaisa, go learn. So it's a battle of wills between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it calls mind you're vacillating back and forth between that. It's going to be very excruciating. You know, you live with, you did it, you didn't listen, but you feel guilty, you should have learned. You know, next time you do better, you try it again, you can't fully commit yourself, you're miyayish. There's all these different types of emotions which go through us. But we all know the guy, you know, who walked in, wasn't such a big masman, it wasn't such a big tzaddik, you know. And something happens somewhere along the way, and all of a sudden this guy learns like 97 hours a day, you know. And he's always happy about it. And how come it's working by him and it's not working by me? And, you know, I remember like, you know, just like 3 months ago, like, you know, I was holding ahead of him. You know, what happened? He made the Kabbalah. He made a true Kabbalah. And once you make a true Kabbalah, so you're able to come in kind of the Kabbalah. It's sweet afterwards. But the giving up of that, the giving ability to give up is extremely difficult. And that is the most basic Yitzhahara that Klai still grapples with. What we have, advantage we have, you know, four-fifths stayed behind. They didn't make it out. The moment they realized that the Hashkocha is Tuveya something from them, it's not just that there's Hashkocha. That's a wonderful thing, Hashkocha. Russian takes care of me, it's sweet, it's wonderful, I'm sitting in Mitzrayim, and you know what? Russian wipes out Mitzrayim just for a little old me. I mean, that's a wonderful feeling. So run out, be makabel, run out, brush them, I'm ready to do whatever you want. The first moment is an extremely warm and wonderful feeling. But then the person hits and says, one second, but that if there's the impact of that statement is so overwhelming, forfeit said, I can't handle it. And I told you about this, the story about the fellow with the seed program. The guy working on MS, he says, if it's MS, I got it. He went to this discovery weekend, you know, and they showed him the proofs that Torah is from Shemayim. So he comes in, he's reading this book about Bible criticism. He says, listen, I went to the thing, it looks like it's true. If it's true, I got to do it. I don't want to do it. So I'm spending my time now trying to figure out, prove that it's not true. So, to his credit, he was honest enough, if it's true, I got to do it. He's also honest enough to say, I don't want to do it. So what was he trying to do? Prove that it's not true. And that's, you know, I sat down, we discussed his different Bible criticism issues. At the end of the day, I asked the Rav, whatever happened to the guy, you know, like a year or two later. He says, as far as you know, the fellow never did it. Even though I proved him that the proofs were not, his tainas were not tainas, he's back to square one. He says, but the bottom line, he just couldn't do it. He didn't want to make a change in his life. So, you know, the Baal Tshuva has an advantage. In a certain sense, it's very difficult. But there's this whole group of people that he can join now which are doing it. And they all seem pretty happy. And there's like all these wonderful things that you get by joining. So you got to give up a lot of things, but you know, you get something in return. You know, okay, you have the exception. You have the guy became Baal Tshuva, you know, somewhere in the Russian prison, didn't get too much to gain out of that, you know, on the good side, you know, the right? It wasn't easy over there, I would imagine. Right? But the guy got, you know, he became, he's from, you know, grew up FFB, or he grew up Baal Tshuva, and he became from, and the FFB who was took some time off, and came back, you know, whatever the groups are nowadays, you know, right? Good, so now he's here. And most of the guys look like this, and a few guys look like that. So how do you join that group? Well, I'm okay, not so bad, everybody else looks like me also, you know. We do most of the mitzvahs, most of the time. I try me nice, try me good, I learn. You know, overall, I'm a good guy. It doesn't add up. You know, we sell that to ourselves, but deep down we say, you know, we're not happy with that. We know that's just an excuse and an argument to appease, assuage the conscience, which is saying, you know, hello up there, please move. And we're saying, well, that's not so bad. Don't bother me. Please be quiet. And he goes quiet for a little bit, then he comes back and bothers you again. It's called the Yetzer type, you know. And that's the challenge. But the advantage that we have is we are the children of the 1/5 who came out. I mean, they gave us the spiritual genes, the spiritual power, that they did it. And they made a Kabbalah which is way beyond, our mind cannot comprehend the Kabbalah that they made. Because they had a perfect understanding of what it means, Kabbalah to Torah. They sat by Mount Torah with a total awareness of the enormity of totally subjugating your being to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have no Muslim what it means, Matan Torah, at that level. And they did it. And they did it with Simcha. And they did it before they were asked. And they did it in Asim and Ishma. They said, Moshe Rabbeinu, we want to hear that from Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to die from it? We're ready to die from it. This is the Mamish, the polar opposite of the Yetzer Hara, the other end of the world. Okay? We're their kinderlach. We're the enoklach of that, those people who are able to make that. You know, you see it. The bacher here. You have these guys in, you know, 12th grade. They don't want to go certain yeshiva netzusok because they make them frum. You know, they make them look yeshivish or something like that. I said, what's the problem? I said, you know, if you do it, you'll like it. Yeah, but I don't want to like it. I don't want to go there and have that happen to me. Even though I know when it'll happen to me, I might happen to like it very much. But right, so that's ridiculous. If you don't like it, then what do you care now about doing it?
If you're going to like it at the end, if you're not going to like it at the end, I understand. If you're going to like it at the end, so what are you worried about? I don't want it. End of conversation. No. Because, why? Because. Very intelligent conversation, you know. 18-year-old boy, right? It's illogical. But this is not with logic. This is the Yetzer Hara in its most basic level, which is totally illogical. He's going to throw away your life. And it's scary. To tell you that's not scary, the Mechilta is saying it is scary. It's very hard. Call us cautious. But it's going to be Yarv Lechem Mekan Labor. So a person says, you know, at some point he says, learning Torah is Geshmak. Why do some people find learning Torah Geshmak, some people don't? The answer is the Kabbalah. And this guy, he gets a chiz out of learning. And this guy doesn't. It's still in the world of the Kabbalah. There are points in a person's life where the clarity comes. When, you know, the clouds sort of clear up and he says, you know, I understand. I was having a conversation with Shauli was Shauli Mordechai was nifter. So I was talking about the high school boys, was very nisragish. The boy was very, very close. He spent a lot of time over there. And I asked him, what did Shuli mean to you? What did you gain from going over there? So he says to me, he says, Rebbe, I have a lot of questions. And every time I went to Shuli, I walked over there and realized I have no questions anymore. I got a lot of answers about life from going. He says, there's moments in a person's life where he gets clarity. The moment of Misa, the person deals with the Ptira, so the elements are not so important anymore. The pursuits that human beings run after are not so important anymore. There's a clarity a person gets when he looks at Misa. There's a clarity a person gets when he looks at somebody who has such physical limitations way beyond anything which anybody else that has. But there's a world of existence still beyond that. He says, what's the tachlis of life? And I said, I got my answers. That I can't, you know, all my petty things are petty things now. There has to be something. I wanted something valuable with my life. I want to accomplish something. I think any bacher who had the schus to be involved and learn those lessons, it's a big schus. He should, but the challenge of these nyanim is that, you know, we think that those moments of clarity remain forever. Right? If you don't work on them, to hold them, right? This idea of this Kabbalah, which gives you a clarity afterwards, the Yerevel Chemikan Labo, doesn't come for free. It's not like I sit there and be passive and it becomes part of my reality. There's an investment. There's an investment in of time, investment of machshava, investment of a person sitting and contemplating and understanding. Otherwise, it gets covered up with all of the different things. The Yetzer Hara doesn't, you know, pull back and say, ah, yeah, he won, and I surrender. There's no surrenders by the Yetzer Hara. So a person has a moment of clarity. So yeah, I'm going to remember this for Lyle and Boyd. And it's not like that. So a person has to be inspired and has to write down, has to think about it, has to be mechazik, has to be makabel. To translate the ideas that a person has, the understanding that a person has, if it's not translated into the world of lemaisa, it's ephemeral and it just floats away and goes away. I mentioned to the Bacher, I said, you know, they should take it, they should write it down. You know, actually, they want to collect something and publish something. I said, but, you know, what you can publish and what you want to write for yourself might be two different things. Right? A person can be much more personal, private, in what he wants to write for himself, you know, a letter to himself that you pull out in the kufa of 6 months, a year, 2 years, and say, this is what I understood at one moment in my life, and I want to hold on to that understanding. some of those lessons you can share with people, some of those lessons you can't share with people. Those are very private lessons. They should be private lessons. They should be something which really touched the core of the inner being of the person. It's a very private place. You don't want to necessarily share with other people. That's fine. You shouldn't be sharing it. There are things you could share. Right? We live in a... I don't know, generation, Meisim are like, you know, it's like every day there's a new book about Meisim, you know, the Geschmack is going to have Meisim, you know. I know there was one person, three people were after me about my story, how it became from, you know. I said, I'm not interested in saying this, tell you the story, it's my Meisim, you know. I don't want to publish in a book somewhere to read. So finally, you know, one person was very adamant, you know. He came after me. He said, you know, okay, fine, I'll tell you the story. I told him the story. He published it. It really bothers me reading the story. It's not, it's just not my story. It just doesn't fit. There's so much more to the story, the understanding of what I said and what he wrote are two different worlds. And there's nothing shaker about the story. It's not real. It's not me. It's a very private thing. The emotions that I went through, etc. You can't write that down. If you would, it wouldn't be interesting reading to most people. My wife had an aura. There's a book recently was published where a woman did that, and she really, you know, you get a feeling of the back and the forth and the grappling and the pain and the frustration and the excitement and the ecstasy, and each story is like 20 pages long. And you know, she has in the bold print and she has the italic print, you know, the bold print is the story and the italic print is her thought process, etc. And I said, it's so refreshing because it's real. It's a human being there. So it's not like the other it's a real story. With the person grappling and with, you know, the wavering and with the and then not being sure and the parts of you didn't do good, you know, it's alive. But that's, you know, it's a very impressive person can publish something like that. I don't know whether you should publish. I mean, I understand it's good, you know, but that's what you should, you know, because that's your mahus. Your mahus is a very private thing. It's not sneeze, you know. That's the world of sneeze. This is my private world. I live in a private world. That's mine. And in that world is me and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? And in that private world, me and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I have feelings and I have emotions which I share with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I shouldn't be sharing them with everybody. So my advice to the person, you know, there's the world, what you can share with the outside world. And that's really what Revolver was talking about. Is that there's in this inner world which you walk into. And in that inner world there's clarity. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is there in that inner world. And there's a clarity of what it's all about. And you say, you know, I really like it in here. And that's the name of the Sefer. If you ever wonder what the name of the Sefer, Ali Shur is. So he writes in the Hakdama that Alishur means that the Prim Pasuk, the Benois saw the Alishur, that when Yosef went out of Mitzrayim, the women went up to catch a glimpse of Yosef. What's to catch a glimpse? What am I trying to give me? The Sefer is about catching a glimpse. There's a world of Pinimius inside of a Talmud. I can't take you into that world. It's hard to describe that world. What I can do for you is I can give you a glimpse. And the purpose of that Sefer is to give you a glimpse of what's going on inside that world. And that's the world where Kadosh Baruch Hu, the world of Hashkacha, and that's the world of Geula, where Kadosh Baruch Hu was totally a reality to them. And in that world, I really, you know, the outside world was irrelevant. What you think about me, I couldn't care less what you think about me. So there's no covet issues. If I live with Kadosh Baruch Hu, I don't need your approbation. I don't need you to value me. Because if you don't like me, fine, I have a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if you don't like me, also fine, I have a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's irrelevant to me. Taiva, I'm sitting in the audience with the most powerful being, and he's totally taking care of me. Right? I'm so secure and so warm and so wonderful. What's a taiva for? It's like a child sitting on his mother's lap, totally content. It doesn't want anything else. It's just enjoying basking in the warmth of being in its mother's lap. I don't have any other needs. There's no time for it. Kina? What am I jealous of? I that's that wonderful world that I'm living in. That's the world of Hashgacha. That's the world of Geula, which Kleisel came to. But they realized to hold on to that world and to stay in there is a lot of work. Because all of the mitzvahs, all of the Torah mitzvahs, is to keep me in that world. I shouldn't let that outside world become my reality. That is the challenge of all the Torah mitzvahs. And when a person gets that clarity, he's in that world, it's such a wonderful place. He's like, I don't want to walk out. You know, so you see, there's certain people that they walk around with such a confidence and such a comfort level of right and wrong, a clarity of right and wrong. They don't feel a need to kowtow to you. They don't feel any of these needs. Right? If it's right, they're going to do it, then they couldn't kill, you know, they really are not impacted by the rest of the world. I remember once I had there's halacha, you have to ask Mechila for saying Lashon Hara. So I'm from a Bachar, you know. So I say Lashon Hara about the Reshiva. I'm sure more than once, you know. But it's part of being Bachar, saying, you know, Lashon Hara about the Reshiva. So you have to ask Mechila. And believe me, it's not the most comfortable thing in the world to go ask Reshiva. Mechila, you know, maybe over here, I don't know, but over there, it hasn't happened over here yet either. I'm assuming nobody ever said any Lashon Hara about me, but I went over to Reshiva, you know, after working on myself for a few weeks to get the guts, the gumption to go over to a gifter and to ask Mechila. And I was waiting for him to excoriate me and, you know, give, you know, like, you know, you get, you know, you're going to get all your muster and you feel like so cleansed from the process, you know. It's like, really, you know, I was waiting for this moment, you know. Finally got myself pumped up, I'm going to do it. I remember where I was standing when I was walking with him, telling him, he says to me, you can say whatever you want about me, I really don't care. And he walked away. I was like, oh. It hit me straight in the solar plexus. But it was so true. He didn't need anybody that, he was, what was right was right, what was wrong was wrong, and I couldn't care less what you think. And I couldn't really, it was totally irrelevant to me. He said the whole world could tell something about him and it wouldn't make a difference to him. Because he lived in the reality of Torah with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that was it. He was so comfortable in that world. That's the flip side of the person's. But it's hard to stay. It's very hard to stay inside the Dalai Lama's because there's so much reality going on around you, etc., 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 that keeps pulling you out. He says no, but it's really geschmack in that world. So if you're mekabel. It's really geshmak to stay in there. You'll have such an awe from the Torah and the mitzvahs and the awareness and doing the right thing. And there's a Yetzirah coming after you. But there's a balance. There's a simcha. I think, you know, we've said this idea different times. That relationship belongs to Klal Yisrael. That's Klal Yisrael's special relationship with the Kodesh Baruch. When a person says in the morning, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shelo Yosani Goy. So Rav Schwab says in Machshava, so who do you have in mind when you say Shelo Yosani Goy? So you know, the janitor, you know, Baruch Hashem, I'm not Jose, you know. So that's the Shabbat to Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm not Jose, you know. That my conversation is about weightlifting, you know. That's my Shabbat to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So they say that the Baruch Berz Hatzal used to say, so he used to think, you know, his shaita was, you know, Roosevelt was the president. He says, Shalor Sanin Goy, he thinks Roosevelt. Baruch Hashem, I'm a Yid, and I'm not Roosevelt. Roosevelt was the top of the world. The president of the United States of America, once upon a time, was considered a Nichbodus, right? And it was the superpower of America, and Roosevelt, you know, he was four terms president. You know, it's not a planet guide. I'm not better than Roosevelt. Rav Schwab took it way beyond that. He says, Noyach, Misushelach, Chanoich, Iyiv, according to some shittas. They were Goyim. They were phenomenal tzaddikim. Chanoich became a Zamalach. But I'm a Iyiv. And a Iyiv is a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is different and better than what they had. I'm not Mr. Shemach. I'm better than Mr. Shemach. That's what you have in mind. That's the relationship that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We live inside that those Dalet Amos. And if a person is makabel to go into that, the makabel, the Kabbalah of Torah, of mitzvahs, it's difficult to makabel it, but it's so sweet once a person's inside. And he wants to stay in there. And he says that bracha with such kavanah. Bracha, I live in these Dalet Amos. Hallelujah.